perspective, and it's not creation in 6 days perspective, it's more a Big Bang perspective. Science and the Bible are said to be agreeing more and more. It says there's evidence that the universe had a beginning. See, up to the middle of the 20th century, scientists believed the universe was eternal. It contracted, it expanded, it contracted, it expanded. It must have made itself, I suppose. No alternative to that thought. Evidence that the universe is fine-tuned and delicately designed so that life could appear. That's called the anthropic principle. And there's maybe 25 or 30 things that this universe is so attuned to that if it was fractionally different, we wouldn't be here. The universe would have expanded beyond recognition or crunched. Gravity is one. If it was the most infinitesimal different, we wouldn't be here. And there's maybe 20 or 30 of those things. The strong nuclear force, I don't know what that is, but the weak nuclear force and lots of things that if they were just that bit different, life would not be possible. And it's like someone's messed with the numbers and the universe being created in such a way so that life is possible. And then there's something called the Goldilocks effect. Now, you all know the Goldilocks story, don't you? Okay. Is anyone there? Can you put the lights on? The Goldilocks effect, where the bed was just comfy, that the porridge was just right, not too hot or too cold. And where our planet is in the Milky Way, it's just in the right spot to enjoy life. It's just in the right spot to see out into the universe's little part where we are. And if we were round that side, we'd be blown away. And if we're around that side, the Earth wouldn't have been formed. But just where we are, it's just close enough to the sun not to burn. And if we're further away, a fraction away, we freeze, you know. Now tell me that's evolution. Or tell me that's a mind that has created life such that we can enjoy it. The Goldilocks effect. Next slide, please. We don't always do ourselves favors, because sometimes the conflict is because we don't properly understand the Word of God. And we come up with a lot of theories and ideas, mate. Science is at conflict. Well, it will be if we don't understand the Bible properly. And let me just see the next slide, please. And this is part of the issue. How long is a day? In your small group notes, I'm working this around the questions in the hope that it might be of some use. And I hope you sort of don't make you fall asleep or something talking about this stuff. How long is a day? How old is the earth? We take, I think most of us take or would have taken or still take, 6 days God made the heaven and the earth. It says that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, when Moses is through God about to give the Ten Commandments, it says, in 6 days God made the heavens and the earth. Now, do you think God knew what he was talking about? Do you think he knew what days were? Do you think Moses thought maybe it was 6 billion years, not 6 days? But anyway, how long is a day? John Lennox, who knows John Lennox? Ooh, a few more. You need to listen to him, he's a fantastic man. He's like someone I know, he's short, fat, and baldy and getting old. And so I have some resonance with him. He is an Oxford professor of mathematics and a scientist and a wonderful Christian. He believes in the Big Bang. Have I got this down here? Yeah, the Big Bang. Now, the Big Bang says that the universe came from nothing pretty much about 14 billion years ago. The good side of that is this. It means the universe had a beginning. And there's something called the Kalem, stop even boring you, the Kalem cosmological argument. The dude in the 11th century who was a Muslim scholar, and he made a statement that's blinking obvious, but at the time it probably wasn't. Everything that begins has a cause. And so now that the universe through the Big Bang is said to have a beginning, then the people like John Lennox and Frank Turek, who I'll mention in a minute, say the universe began to exist after the Big Bang, therefore it has a cause, and that cause is God. And so there's a strong argument comes through the Big Bang stuff for strengthening the view of Christian faith in the Bible. Doesn't mean it's right. Not everyone believes that. But there is a four-minute thing by Frank. Who's heard of Frank Turek? Oh, goodness. on YouTube. He's a really good speaker, crossexamined.org, and he does just a four-minute clip on evolution, why the evidence doesn't support it, and that sort of thing. So, and then there's creationministries.org, plenty of good stuff. Evolution has two parts to it, macroevolution and microevolution, big or small. Next, please. Macroevolution, you won't want to listen to this again on the internet, will you? Macroevolution says we came from monkeys, microbes, you know, horrible slimy stuff became cells became something else, it became monkeys, and through that it became people. Microevolution, which we all observe, said monkeys became different monkeys. Monkeys didn't become men, monkeys became, and that's what we observe. We do not observe the big evolution change. The fossil record doesn't show big change. They suddenly appear in the Cambrian period, fully formed. You know, so there's more, in my view, more about the flood, more about the destruction of the earth. Next slide, please. That matters to us. The Genesis flood, are we just watering it down? I said two things, just one laugh then. Thank you. See, he's an intelligent man. Possibly the only one here. I said the two things that really mattered. This is just my opinion. Number one, Adam. If Adam wasn't created by God, probably about 6,000 years ago, then there was no original sin. If there's no sin, there's no savior, and so on. And that's the way people have taken it in the evolutionary atheistic world. The second thing is, if the Genesis flood was local and not global, something similar happens. Because evolutionists and atheists and Christians who believe in an old earth all believe the flood was local. But the language of the Bible is a bit different to that. Because it says in Genesis 7, I think it's verse 20, the water covered the highest peaks. Now, if you cover the highest peaks, then everything else underneath is covered, isn't it? And everything with the breath of life died. Let's see what Peter has to say. I'm going to turn to the Bible. You may wish to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Modern technology is wonderful when it works. Peter says this. I'm using the New Living Translation that I like. Admire too. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. They'll say everything has remained the same since the world was first created. In evolutionary terms, they call that uniformitarian geology. And a guy called Charles Lyell, is he on there? He'd be on the next one. Who's a friend of Darwin, said the present is the key to the past. What we see happening today is the way it's always happened. Can't prove that. But that's the basis of evolution. The present is the key to the past. Well, the present is all we've got. We can't go into the past because it's gone. But they look at the way the rocks, the sediments laid down, and it's slow. Today it's slow. And they say it must have been thousands of millions of years. So it's in Peter that they don't want to believe that. And what that means is, if they don't believe in a flood that covered the earth, then they don't believe that God brought judgment on this world. And if they don't believe in the first judgment, they're not going to believe in the next one, are they? And so there's no need for them to be worried about it. Well, God hasn't judged the world, but he has. He caused the world that then was to overflow. He used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. Oh, I've just lost it. Pardon me, Bonnie. Recover. Can I have the next slide, please? If it's a bit head-banging, I do apologise. Yeah. So what does Peter say? We could sure use someone who was there in the past, couldn't we? Yes, we could. God was there, and he's given us his word to tell us what's happened in the past. And he's told us that there was a creation, and he's told us that was a flood. I've written down a name, John Baumgartner, and the site is globalflood.org. If you're interested, and I hope some of you will be interested through this, globalflood.org, he is a creationist that believes God made it 6 days, 6,000 years ago. And the amount of good information there, some of it's a little bit technical, but you get the gist. He became a Christian from being an atheist, and he started to study global sort of geophysics, and he got a PhD in global geophysics in order to understand the flood. And his wisdom and insight is brilliant, and the facts he's saying. For example, the chance of, because evolutionists say there was this cell that started to grow in the slime, whatever it was, but they don't know how it became a living cell. They have no answers to how life started at all until God said, let there be. God created. Was it the chicken or the egg? It was the chicken, wasn't it? God made the chicken, they made the egg. And God made Adam. He didn't make a cell. But I recommend John Baumgartner to you because it's an amazing site. It's full of great stuff. You write that down, Dave. Good. So, very good stuff. Next slide, we're starting to come towards an end. Right. Science and the Bible, are they compatible? And I've said it's a stupid question, really. I don't, am I blocking your sight? It's a stupid question, really. In this, I'm sorry, Lee, if you made that question, but it's a stupid question in this sense. All that's out there and all that's in here is from God. We shouldn't be afraid of anything. So, yes, science and the Bible are compatible. When scientists discover things that are true, then it's God. There's no choice. God has made things. God has done things, even if he's hidden them for us to find. There's nothing out there that should frighten us. It's the conclusions of scientists who are atheists, who are evolutionists, who have got a bent. Let me see if I can read something to you. Well, I can. There's a guy called Richard Lewontin who's a professor. I'm not saying this is all of them, but some of them have got this kind of mindset. Professor Richard Lewontin, a geneticist and, as it happens, a Marxist, one of the leading promoters of evolutionary biology, said in effect, we believe in evolution because of our commitment to materialism, and that materialism is absolute, for we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. These people don't want to know God. They don't believe in God. And they're pursuing something which is godless. And they know they're doing it. They know they're doing it. Not everyone, perhaps, but some of the guys, like this one, he knows he's doing it, and he's doing it on purpose. That's scary, isn't it? Yes, it is. Thank you. So, I've mentioned Paul Little, which I think is the next slide. No, I didn't. This is good. This is really good. I read this in the book, Know Why You Believe. In 1861, the French Academy of Science published a little brochure in which they stated 51 scientific facts that controverted the word of God. And I find this quite funny. Today, there's not a scientist in the world who believes a single one of them. Not one. Isn't that amazing? Science changes, God doesn't. And there's nothing wrong with science. It's, in fact, science teaches us nothing. Scientists teach us. And they're fallible, fallen human beings. Some of them have got pure motives and some have not. So, trying to conclude. A lot of stuff. might not be your bag, but know that we're fighting for the truth. Whether the truth is 6 days, 6,000 years ago, or the Big Bang, is secondary to the fact that in the beginning, God created the heaven, whenever the beginning was, and the earth. I'm still a six-day man, personally, and I believe in a global flood. I think that's what the Bible teaches. And I'm constantly looking for information that will strengthen that. And John Baumgartner is one of the guys that's doing it. So that's what I believe. I can't make you believe that. But we're fighting for the truth. We're fighting for a worldview that says matter is not all that's out there. It's what we can see, but it's not. You know, the scientists don't even know why there are galaxies. When everything's expanding that way, why is something going round like this? You know, they just don't know why there's galaxies at all. They don't understand consciousness. They don't understand energy. There's so many things they don't understand. And they make great boasting claims. There's nothing to scare us in science. We know the living God. And he's the one that has the last word on everything. So the last slide is this. I'll just leave you to look at it and then pray. Father God, a lot of stuff said. This is an endless conversation. I just ask that you bless us, Lord, as we, in our own little way, seek to love you and to pursue you and to understand that out there there's people who believe stuff that we don't believe, and there's people who are out to promote that false stuff. Help us to know the truth. Help us to live a life that pleases you. If we don't have all the answers scientifically, let us be the answer spiritually. Let us love people and care for them and win them for you in Jesus' name. Amen.